to keep that song in your mind, because that's the basis of the devotion tonight. And devotion and somewhat of a testimony. Matthew chapter 5 is the first part of what we now know is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Beginning there in verse 3. But is in verse 14 where I want to direct your attention tonight, just a few moments. Verses 14 through 16, if you'll stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. These are the words of our Savior. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Father, thank you for the reading of thy word. Thank you for the precious songs tonight that encourages us to realize that you are coming back, and one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that could be this could be the time, Lord, that very soon that you make your appearance. We look forward to that day. But till that day comes, Lord, you've asked us to be faithful. You've asked us to be busy, to be doing the work you called us to do. And that means that we should be shining lights of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that this year will be a year that will shine brighter than ever, be a year that will penetrate the darkness with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we'll never be ashamed. I pray, Lord, we'll be bold and have courage in every part of our world, that you give us opportunity, Lord, that we'll let our light shine. Lord, bless this time we have together tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I realized the significance of this verse several years ago when we were in Israel. And Joe, we went out one night in Jerusalem, and it was after we'd finished dinner, and just some of us pastors were on our own just walking around observing, and we came to a part outside the city of Jerusalem where it was dark. It was really dark. And we weren't lost, but we were just kind of enjoying the sights and the sounds, and one of the fellows noticed something, and he said, "Hey, look." And we looked over, and realizing that earlier that day we'd been on the top of the Mount of Olives, and we recognized from our vantage point now down in the city that we were looking back toward the Mount of Olives. And that mount was shining as bright as the day. Lights just had it lit up, and we're not sure, you know, how they went about lighting it, but I remember this verse, and I remember that God had called us and has called us to be shining lights no matter where we are. And it was really neat to stand there in Jerusalem and see that and remember the words of our Savior, that we don't hide our light, we don't put it under a bushel. And like the cute song that the fellas just sang, we learned as a child, most of us, we should not hide it under a bushel, but we should let our light shine. If there's ever a day in our world that we need to be shining lights, it is today. We don't do a whole lot at our house as far as stuff, you know, with myself and my wife as far as Christmas, but there was one little thing I wanted for Christmas. I know it may sound a little silly, but those of you know what I like and enjoy doing, and I like to keep things in my car so that when I'm out on a trip or whatever, I've got different tools, different things I've got. And I saw a commercial for one of those, as a U.S. fighter pilot advertised one of those really bright flashlights, that atomic beam flashlight. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, "Man, I want one of those things." Man, I said, and I saw one at Walmart later on. I didn't have to order it. And I said, "Man, that's what I want." You know what? Them silly things got gone before Christmas. I couldn't find one to save my life. I looked everywhere for one of those things and couldn't find one. Would you believe on Christmas Eve, on the day, the last day, I was out trying to finish up things that morning and found myself at CVS getting something. And I went down the aisle that said, as seen on TV. And I thought, maybe, just maybe. Sure enough, guess what they had? They had two of them. I bought one for my son and one for myself. My son's had more fun with that flashlight than anything I bought him in 20 years. He really has. I'm telling you what's the truth. He really has. And I got one, and I got mine out, and I got it. And man, I'm telling you what's the truth. I love that thing. That's the brightest thing. I can see a deer over Pickens County from here. I really can. I mean, that's bright. I can see it. I really can. And I keep that thing with me in my travel bag now. And anytime I need a flashlight, boy, I got a flashlight. Man, that thing's bright. You can. It's got different. It's got strobe and it's got SOS. And it's really cool. I can zoom and everything else. And you know, that's the kind of light that God asks us to be. Is to shine. It's to let people know about our Savior. I had an experience last week that I want to share with you, and it goes right along with this passage, and I was sharing it with someone today, and I know many times on Wednesday night we're accustomed to, we take a Bible study, and I want to go back to our book that we started back in before the holidays began, and I'm going to go back to that, but tonight there was just something on my heart that I want to share with you that this verse this afternoon, as I was praying about this and I thought about shining our light. We were on a field trip last week and I had the opportunity to drive our school again as we did last year. But there was one day in our trip that was set aside that was completely different. It wasn't at the amusement park where we spent most of our week. We'd done something we'd never done before. There's a place in Orlando called the Holy Land Experience. I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you've driven down Interstate 4 going through Orlando, you've seen it on the right. And reading about it, we felt like that would be something we'd like to take our high school students to. It's an area, not quite as big as one of the amusement parks, but it's set up as a replica of Israel and Jerusalem in the days of Jesus. There's a section of Jerusalem market. People in traditional of first century costume interacting with you. There's a section there where you can go see the a replica of the temple, Herod's temple that was built there in Jerusalem. You could go in and see all the furniture pieces, the Ark of the Covenant, the laver and the altar and all of that stuff. And throughout all this, this is sort of a self-guided thing. And they have programs throughout the day where they present things. There's a section that's like Bethlehem during the time when Jesus was born. And they tell the story of the Christmas story. There's a section on one side where you walk around and make your way around. And there's Golgotha. There's the crosses. And they tell the stories of the crucifixion. And there's the empty tomb, the garden tomb. You can go in the garden tomb, a replica of the tomb, and see as it is. And Joe, it was very much like it was in Israel. It really was. Everybody kept asking me, is this what it's like? And I said, yeah, they've done a real good job. In fact, there are areas where they have little signs where they've taken actual stones and rocks and bricks that were donated from Israel, from Jerusalem, from those areas, and donated them to this. So that give a lot of likability to what it's like. And so we spent the day, about half a day is about all we had planned, because we really weren't sure how all of it worked. There's one section where I spent, which I really loved, and I know some of you would like this kind of thing. It was a 55-minute video and exhibit presentation on the history of the written Word of God, all the way back to the pre-Egyptian days of how they recorded and wrote words and recorded Scripture. And they were actually as the world's largest private exhibit of ancient texts that is there at this at the Holy Land Experience. And we got to see texts from way back of the Old Testament, things that were found in the first century and BC, and all the as the texts and the New Testament was recorded and copied, and even an actual copy of the Gutenberg Bible, the first print that came off the printing press, story of John Wycliffe and Tyndale. I just had a ball in all this. I read everything, saw everything. It was just amazing to get an appreciation of the Word of God and had been handed down through generations to what we have today. But toward the latter part of the afternoon, we had told our group, now we're all going to meet back at 3 o'clock into the worship center. And there's a church there that's a 2,000-seat auditorium, theater seats, and it's a church. And around this place, there's restaurants and gift shops and snack shops, and you could spend the day and enjoy the music and the displays and all. But we got to the worship thing, and we got there early. And this 2,000-seat auditorium was nowhere near full on a Wednesday afternoon in the first week of January. But there was probably a good 500 people there, at least. And tourists and, you know, and different ages. Before the service started, some of the folks had come around, and they were in there. Costumes and just talk with people where they're from and what they're doing. And many of them were asking, you know, do you have a prayer request? Can I pray for you? I'd already been in the gift shop, and, you know, if there's a Bible gift shop, you know, I'm going to find it. And they had a box where you could write down prayer requests. And I'd written down a request to pray for my brother. And so the gentleman that checked me out, I'd bought a little lapel pin that I wanted to keep as a souvenir. And he said, I noticed you put a prayer request. He said, we pray for all those requests. He said, but could I ask you, could I pray for you now? And I said, well, actually, it's not for me, it's for my brother. And I explained what the request was. And this black gentleman, who with a little bit of an accent that I really couldn't pinpoint where he was from, just said, brother, he said, whatever it is, he said, I know God's going to take care of it. And he took me by the hand, not one hand, but both hands. And he prayed not 5 seconds, but prayed 5 minutes, standing there over the register after I'd bought the lapel pin. And if there ever was a time that I felt like somebody prayed down heaven, it was standing in that gift shop. Because this dear black brother just raised his hands and held my hands together, and we didn't care who else was in there, and we didn't ask, we didn't look around. And he just prayed for my brother and prayed for my church. He asked me the name of your church, of us here, and prayed for me and my family and you. I want to tell you what, folks, I didn't want to leave the gift shop. I felt like I ought to go buy something else after he got through praying for me, like he did. I really did. Because, I mean, this brother just prayed it down. I walked out of there just encouraged. I mean, I was. Well, then we get to the service. These folks are going around. They're asking, can I pray for you? And different ones had different prayer needs. And one of our teenagers had been dealing with a very severe back problem that was a result of her legs being different lengths when she was born. She's facing surgery. And I'll tell you something, folks, I've never seen anything like what I saw that afternoon. But I saw a man surrounded by a group of teenagers in an auditorium surrounded by strangers get down on their knees, and he prayed for her healing. And she got up from that, and she says, I've never felt this good in all my life. She said, I'm 17 years old, and my back has never felt this better, this good, as it does right now. And I don't know, I can't explain that. I'm not going to try to explain it. I don't have to.
Amen.
I don't have to explain it, but I believe the power of God was in that room that afternoon.
Amen.
And we were surrounded, but then the service started. And when the service started, there was this young lady that got up, and she started singing a song that I didn't know. I was going to ask Jeannie if she knew it. It was something, Grace. I'd never heard this song. But she had the sweetest voice, as sweet as Sandy Patty. And y'all have heard Sandy Patty and the volume that she, and the range she's got. This lady could just hang up there with Sandy Patty. I mean, she was that good. And boy, that place came unglued. I mean, hands went up and there was worship. And nobody cared what denomination we were from or what church we were from. We just got to shouting in the Lord and praising God. And I was like, man, okay, this is getting good. This is the best field trip I've been on. And then it started. It was a drama presentation of the Passion of Christ, Jesus' final week, some of his healing ministries and how the whole thing, and the actors and the actresses and the stage and the lighting, the special effects, was just top of the line. It was just one of the best things I've ever seen. And for 55 minutes, we sat there and heard the presentation of the gospel. They shared Jesus giving His life as a sacrifice, and His meaning, His betrayal, His prayer in the garden, His beating, and that right there just moves me every time I see any portrayal of our Savior suffering. And then the cross, and it was very well done. It was not cheesy. It was not in any way. It was very well done, and the gospel was clearly presented. Boy, when He came up out of that tomb, and they had the presentation of light, and they come up out of that tomb, I'll tell you what, folks, I don't care who was sitting around me. Man, I said out of amen and glory to God, and I'll tell you what, they'd never seen a bus driver get excited like that, but they did that day. But the best was still yet to come. There was a man who played the part of the Roman centurion who was in charge of the beatings of Jesus, in charge of His crucifixion. He actually played the part where at the end of Jesus' death on the cross, where he actually says, "Truly, this must have been the Son of God." And following His resurrection and as the things began to happen, this centurion cries out to God and calls upon Him for salvation. And he reminds the audience of everything that Jesus had said and everything that Jesus had done and what the purpose of it was. And he basically led the entire audience through the plan of salvation and through praying. And he said, "If there's anyone here that has never accepted Christ, I want you to pray with me. And if you will pray with me and just pray out loud this prayer, honestly, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've sat in services and I've been to performances and I've been to passion plays and all and I've been to singings. And I really thought, well, they might be two or three or whatever. When that man began to pray that prayer, that sinner's prayer, all of a sudden I heard of voices. Not one, not two, not 10, not 20, but more began to call out to the Lord for salvation. They began to pray this prayer, following this prayer. This sinner, I'm just thinking myself. Now listen, when you get goosebumps and they start goosebumping on top of goosebumps, you know something's going on. And I'm sitting there and I'm hearing all these voices in and around me. There was a lady, I sat on the end, there was a lady right across the aisle from me. She walked in with a walker of some type. She was older and she got out of that aisle and got down on her knees and she cried out to the Lord and asked Jesus to save her right there. And I heard these folks around me and they asked them all to stand. Well over 100 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior in that auditorium that afternoon. And I'm sitting there going, this best field trip I've ever been on. I'm having myself time. And I just looked around and these folks, they said, "Listen, if you want someone to pray with you, help you, we've got some material, we want to follow up with you, we want to help you." And I mean, it was just, and so they had all these folks to stand. I wasn't ready for this. I looked down the aisle of where half of our group was sitting on the aisle I was sitting, the other half was behind me. And I looked down the aisle and one of the young men that was in our group, a senior at our high school, stood and said, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." You know, I had a hard time keeping that bus in the road coming home. Because man, I'm telling you what, I was excited. What we thought, we were planning a trip to one of the world's most famous amusement parks and behind the scenes and having a good time, turned into a salvation experience and turned into a healing experience for our group and our teenagers. I looked at the lead teacher who was in charge of this and she looked at me and she said, "Well, you know we're coming back here next year, don't you?" And I said, "Well, you know we are. We can't not come." She said, "Next time we're going to spend longer. We're going to spend all day here. We're going to find out more. We're going to see more. We're going to do more." And I said, you know, this goes to show something, folks. And this is what I want to make the point tonight. 2017 is going to present us with more opportunities to share the gospel than we realize right now. We're going to have more opportunities of worship and fellowship, of ministry, than we've ever dreamed. But we got to be ready for it. We got to be ready for it. We could have just decided, you know what, we're tired already through halfway through this trip. Let's not go, we don't know what it's about. Let's just do that some other time. And let's just stay back at the hotel and rest, or let's just go over and do something else at the theme park. And we could have done that afternoon, and look what we would have missed. Look at what we would have missed. I tell you, folks, I'd love to take a load of you and go down there and spend the day down at that place, because it honestly, it's like being in Israel. And there's so much about it that just, I found out that the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, maybe you've seen some of their stuff on theirs, they're the ones that actually own this. They're the ones that have this. And so I got a chance to spend some time talking to some of the leaders in security and just kind of how things work. I thought to myself, you know, it'd be great to take a bunch of preachers through that Bible exhibit. That'd thrill them. But boy, I'd just like to take a bunch of church members down there and spend the day in fellowship and worship and just experience the Holy Land. And Joe, we don't even have to have a passport either. We could go and don't even have to have a passport or fly. We just drive. But it's something I want to share with you now. I'm going to close with this. We would have missed a life-changing experience for one of our young ladies for physical healing, but we would have missed an eternity-changing experience for one of our young men. You know the thrill that we had to call those parents of those teenagers and to tell them what happened to their... You know, we called and they said, "What's wrong?" You know, when your son or daughter is on a field trip and the teacher calls you from the field trip, usually that's not good. Usually you don't want to get one of those phone calls. And that was you could hear them all, "What's wrong?" They said, no, everything's fine. Let me tell you what happened. And boy, you could hear the lady who was the mother, she's a single mother of the young man that got saved. I heard her shouting over the phone with the teacher. She was like, "Well, glory, you know, hallelujah, you know." And it was just that kind of experience. And I left from that realizing something, folks. I went to Orlando to take some time off to drive a bus for our school and just have some time to relax and have a good time, never dreaming that before the week was over, even half over, we were going to get to see over 100 people saved. We were going to see one of our young ladies experience a change in her life, and a young man who is on his way to heaven now. And I thought, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Amen. And it reminds me, folks, that we're going to have opportunities to share the gospel through the ministries of our church, through outreach visitation, through our youth, our children, our senior adults, our services. Everything that we do, we're hoping that we're going to broaden our opportunities this year. But we got to be ready. We got to be ready to let our light shine. I'm looking forward to using my flashlight some more. I can't wait to walk through the dark and scare some dogs or something. But I really want to let my light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ more this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing even more people come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I know this was not a Bible study and break down the verses, but I hope that somehow or another tonight will be a blessing and encouragement to you, as this past week was to me. And it's really helped me to understand that, you know, here I was with a group of teenagers from a Christian high school, and yet right there on our bus was a young man who wasn't saved. And folks, we may have folks walking through the doors of this church, we may assume that they're saved, but they may not really be. Let's let our light shine. Let's share the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray God to use us that way this year. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, I want to thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to shine the light into a world that needs to see your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities that come upon us that we didn't even know were going to happen. And Lord, I believe that's going to be the case this year. We're going to have opportunities to be in places, to go places and do things, to share the gospel that we didn't even realize. Lord, help us be ready for that. Help us to not be ashamed. Help us not be timid. Help us to be bold, be brave. And Lord, allow you to use us in a way that we never dreamed. And Lord, I know that there are many other teenagers and young people. There are many other adults out there who need to know the Lord. And they will not know Him, Lord, unless we give opportunity for them, Lord, to hear Him. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be diligent. Help us, Lord, to be in our place and do what you called us to do. And Lord, help us to look for those extra opportunities that will come along this year to let our light shine. And Lord, just allow you to use us in ways. And Lord, you get all the honor, you get all the praise, and you get all the glory for it. And thank you for that, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.